So for the devotees of Krishna, it is always a question, when will Krishna come back to Vrindavan? Jiva Goswami gives a very, very wonderful explanation about this in his comment to Vatsala Bhakti Rasa. There's a verse by Rupa Goswami. Stiti yata vidakta madave ahaha kamalagan dea atra sondarya brinde vinihita nayane natvam mukendor mukunda kucha kalasa mukapyam ambarakno pamamba tavamuhur atihashat vashatikshi radharam. It's something about permanent association with Krishna. O Mukunda, our mother, fixing her eyes on the beauty of your moon-like face, fragrant as a lotus, out of great jubilation continually pours streams of milk from the mouths of the two pots in the form of her breasts. In this manner her clothing becomes soaked. So this word sthiti in the Sanskrit means being eternally situated with the Lord after his returning to Braj. And Rupa Goswami says, because now the Vatsala Bhakti Ras chapter ends, this is a suitable conclusion to speak about Krishna's return to Vrindavan. And he says, this will now be explained a little bit more. Now when Jiva Goswami says, now, I will explain this a little bit more, you can be rest assured, something is waiting for us. The Lord, who is glorified in the Vedas as being true to his promises, clearly made the promise to return to Braj in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. He gave this promise, and it must be a meaningful promise. He said, when his father Nanda Maharaj was about to return, expecting that Krishna Balaram would join him and travel with him on the ox carts back to Vrindavan, he said, now you should all return to Braj, dear father. We shall come to see you. Our dear relatives who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness to our well-wishing friends. And this is from the 10th canto. So Krishna says, let us just give our well-wishing friends here in Mathura some happiness, and then we will return. But you go ahead already. Vodrashtam is Yamaha. We will come to see you indicates that the goal of the efforts, Krishna Balaram's efforts, is to see Nanda and Yashoda again. But also it must be understood to be an eternal situation of seeing. Not that Krishna would again leave Braj. So Krishna's returning to Braj was explained by Uddhava, who said, Having killed Kamsa, the enemy of all the Yadus, in the wrestling arena, Krishna will now surely fulfill his promise to you by coming back. Uddhava also had no question that Krishna would return. Krishna had promised it, and Uddhava, who's after all very, very close to Krishna, also believed him. And then there is another. Uddhava continues, "Infallible Krishna, the Lord of the devotees, will soon return to Braj to satisfy his parents." These are all Bhagavatam quotations. Now, Krishna's actual return took place after the killing of Dantavakra. That is hinted at by the Lord himself during the Kurukshetra pilgrimage. "My dear girlfriends," he said to the gopis, "do you still remember me? It was for my relative's sake that I stayed away so long, intent on destroying my enemies." So Krishna had this mission to kill the demons, and he, after seeing the Kurukshetra, in Kurukshetra, the Brijbasis, he said, "You must know, I hope you still remember me," Krishna said. Of course they remembered him. What would they do? They would only think and talk about him. So he says, I have this duty to destroy the enemies. And Krishna just couldn't imagine to do that in Vrindavan, because when he killed, for instance, Putana at the early stages, Putana took on her 16 kilometers long body and she fell, and you know she fell on all the trees. These are Brijbasis. This is what happens when you kill demons. There is some disturbance in the environment and in the atmosphere into the Brijbasis. So Krishna said, I must do this outside of Vrindavan. And his reason was clear. He didn't want to put the Brijbasis into danger. So then there were a long list of demons, and the last one was Dantavakra. Dantavakra attacked Krishna in Mathura, which is far away from Dwaraka, because he thought, if I fight with Krishna in Dwaraka or near Dwaraka, he will have a lot of support. But when I choose the battlefield outside of Dwaraka, far away, then Krishna has no support. He's all on his own. Then I stand better chances. So that's why this sinful demon went to Mathura. So the Padma Purana is now explaining how Krishna returned to Braj after killing Dantavakra. Padma Purana says, "Killing Dantavakra, Krishna then crossed the Yamuna River and went to Braj. He greeted and comforted his grieving parents. He was embraced by them, who were covered in tears. He bowed to all the elder cowherd men and comforted them. He satisfied all of them there with plenty of cloth and ornaments." Now actually, the Padma Purana says Krishna distributed cloth and ornaments. But see, this was actually not necessary, because the Brijbasis were all clothed quite nicely. It is described when Krishna persuaded Nanda Maharaj to return without him, he gave Nanda Maharaj cloth and ornaments for all the Brijbasis to give, like as signs of his affection, his presence. Now when the Brijbasi looked at the card of Nanda Maharaj, and there was no Krishna on it, and Nanda Maharaj said, I brought some presents from Krishna. They were very angry. What? We only want Krishna, and now Krishna is dealing with us as if we are some materially attached people who need ornaments and cloth. So they accepted them because they were from Krishna, but they would never dress in them. Never. Only when they heard the news that Krishna was on the other side of the Yamuna and was now moving into Braj, they went home and they took all the clothes and ornaments and dressed in it because they wanted to show Krishna that they cared for his presence. So Padma Purana says that Krishna brought more ornaments and clothes. But when he jumped down from his chariot to go into Vrindavan, he took all his good clothes down and he asked some cowherd men who had not this fanciful cloth to give them their chadar and their dhoti. You know, he wanted to be dressed in Brijbasi style when he went to Vrindavan. So he quickly changed. So also in the Bhagavatam, after the battle of Kurukshetra, when Krishna was entering Dwaraka, the citizens of Dwaraka indicate Krishna's return to Braj. So there was another return, and this return takes place regularly. The citizens of Dwaraka, who had waited for Krishna to finish the battle and return to Dwaraka, they said that Krishna at that time was also in Braj. O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan, or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like a million years. O infallible one, at that time our eyes become useless. As if bereft of sun. And the citizens of Dwaraka, really, they did not just say our eyes becomes useless, as if bereft of sun, of the sun. When Krishna was not with them, they went actually, they didn't do their daily activities. They went in their houses and stayed there. And was lying down, like when you have no torchlight and there is a power cut, then what will you do? You don't see anything without the sun. So you go in your room and you just exist in your room somehow, you know. I mean, we can chant and we have a candle, but just as an example. So when Krishna was not in Dwaraka, the people felt that there was no sun, or that there was a divine power. Do we say it's power cut or power cut? Power cut, and therefore they were just lying around. So now, according to Sri Taswami, Madhun means Mathura, and therefore Surit, friends, would mean the friends in Braj. Part of of Mathura district, because all the people of Mathura were transferred to Dvaraka, as explained in the following verse. Aha! So here in the Sanskrit, when it says Madhun, when you go away to Mathura, must mean not the Mathura Vasis, but the bridge Vasis, because the Mathura Vasis, says Sridhar Swami, all went with Krishna to Dvaraka. So when the Dvaraka Vasis say you return to Mathura, they must mean the bridge Vasis, who also belong to the district of Mathura, and not the Mathura Vasis. You follow? You. So here is a Bhagavatam verse which says, which proves this. After transporting all his subjects to the new city by the power of his mystic yoga maya, Lord Krishna consulted with Lord Balaram, who had remained in Mathura to protect it. Then, wearing a garland of lotuses, but bearing no weapons, Lord Krishna went out of Mathura by its main gate. So by his mystic yoga maya, he had drawn or brought all the people away from from there. Wonderful. In the following verse also, the word Surit indicates the people of Braj. This is all about this verse from the first canto, which says Krishna went to Vrindavan. And it says the same word is used. Surit didrikshur. O best of the Kurus, once Lord Balaram, eager to visit his well-wishing friends, mounted his chariot and traveled to Nanda Gokula. So Krishna and Balaram's friends are not the Mathura Vasis, they are the Vrindavan Vasis. Since it has been shown that there is agreement between the Bhagavatam and Padma Purana that Krishna returned to Braj just as he desired, one should put aside arguments about where Dantavakra was killed, either by accepting the version of the Vaishnava Toshani or else attributing the different versions in scripture to different kalpas at of time. And this is not such an important argument for us. So now, there is now a very nice explanation in Padma Purana what Krishna did after he returned to Vrindavan to meet all his friends. He actually took them on his chariot and he drove back home, back to Godhead with them. He said, let's go. And he just took them all back into the spiritual world. And in another form, he went back to Dvaraka and stayed in Dvaraka. And here is the quotation from the Padma Purana about this. Thus all the persons there, Nanda and the cowherd men, the children and their wives, the cows, the animals, the birds, they took on shining forms by the mercy of Vasudev. They mounted an airplane and went to the supreme Vaikuntha planet, even the cows and the birds. That was simply fun, you know. What the parents must have thought, you know, about this. Krishna, having bestowed his infallible abode to all the inhabitants of Braj, then entered Dvaraka, Jiva Goswami says in another form, while being praised by the devatas in the sky. So now Jiva Goswami says that this description that Krishna took all the Vrijvasis to the supreme Vaikuntha planet is actually a trick meant to deceive the materialists, because Krishna had earlier shown the Vrijvasis during the, you know, after he had gotten Nanda Maharaj from the hands of Varuna, he had shown them where they would go after this life. You might be knowing he had brought them to the Yamuna at Brahmacharya, and he had shown them the supreme destination. The coward men were simply surprised because they were not prepared for what they saw. They saw the same place in which they were at the present moment. The Yamuna, the trees, everything. So that was what they saw, was the Adrishta Vrindavan, the Vrindavan which is Aprakat, and they were wonderful. Then we will be with Krishna, and everything what we do now will go on there also. Wonderful. Sukadev has explained that. Now some shlokas. Nanda Maharaj had been astonished to see for the first time the great opulence of Varuna, the ruler of the ocean planet, and also to see how Varuna and his servants had offered such humble respect to Krishna. Nanda described all this to his fellow cowherd men. You know, that is when Nanda returned, or was returned by Krishna. You know about this Leela, that Krishna had, or Nanda Maharaj had taken apparently his bath in the Yamuna and was a little bit early, and so the servants of Varuna had just brought him to Varuna as a punishment for entering the water at the improper time. That was known in the older times. You should not enter holy water at the wrong time, that is when it's very late or very, very early in the morning. I remember I was informed by the pandas in Radhakund that once I took a very, very late bath in Radhakund, and then they came to me in the morning and they said, oh, you cannot do this, the Kund is sleeping. They didn't want any money, you know. It was really the information. They wanted to inform me that this is the wrong time. You must be careful. That's known amongst the Vrijvasis. Yeah, so, of course, there are many explanations that it was actually not the wrong time. It was just perfect. But we will not go into these explanations now. The cowherd men considered that Krishna must be the Supreme Lord, you know, when they heard how Nanda said, and then he came at Varuna, you know, he just paid his obeisances. Their minds were filled with eagerness. They thought, will the Supreme Lord bestow upon us his transcendental abode? Because he sees everything, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, automatically understood what the cowherd men were conjecturing. Wanting to show his compassion to them by fulfilling their desires, the Lord thought as follows. My own dearest people, Janaha, the inhabitants of Braj, Braj by their ignorance, think that they are also wandering in this world to the various destinations such as devatas, animals. They do not know their real abode. So Krishna thought very deeply about the situation, and then out of his mercy he revealed to the cowherd men his abode, which is beyond material darkness. Lord Krishna revealed the indestructible spiritual effulgence, which is unlimited, conscious and eternal. Sages see that spiritual existence in trance when their consciousness is free of the modes of material nature. That's what they first saw. The cowherd men were brought by Lord Krishna to Brahmachrada, where Akura had gone previous to the Bhagavatam narration, and were submerged in the water and then lifted up. Wow! They came in this water and they were lifted up. The cowherd men then saw the abode of the Lord. They felt the greatest happiness when they saw that abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas, who were offering him prayers. So this is how the purport starts. Then Jiva Goswami goes back to the main line. And he says, in conclusion, the inhabitants of Braj entered into this special manifestation of Vrindavan beyond the sight of the ordinary mortals. And then he quotes from Brihad Gautamiya Tantra. This about the Vrindavan, and I want to also conclude here with you. This pleasant Vrindavan is my only abode, says Krishna. There are all cows, animals, birds, insects and humans are without death. Those who live under my mercy come to my abode on dying. Those who live under my mercy come to my abode on dying. The daughters of the cowherd men live in my abode. Completely giving up all connections, they serve me continually. This place, measuring 5 yojanas, is none different from my body. The Yamuna, flowing with the sweetest nectar, is the Sushumna, central nerve of that body. All the devas and elements exist there in a transcendental form. The embodiment of all devas, that's me. I do not leave that forest for a moment. Wonderful. Though I appear and disappear in this world age after age, but this radiant forest full of pleasure is invisible to the material eye. Ah, Krishna. This is all very, very nice. Very, very, very nice. When Krishna had gone from the Brijbasis, the Brijbasis were almost finished in separation, but once Nanda Maharaj became so absolutely enthusiastic that he started to see Krishna by these pangs of separation. And you know, we have always said, when you feel separated from Krishna, Krishna may be externally not pleasant, but he will play in your heart because you think of him so much. I think Manjulali sometimes will think of Radha Madan Mohan because it's now a long time where you are not serving them, so they will be in the heart at some times by the thinking of separation. Or when the Kanaya, Radha Kanaya Lal went, I would start to dream of them sometimes when they came here to Govinda Kund. So Nanda Maharaj, this is not just a speculation, but this is this seeing by separation. He said to Yashoda, "Dear wife, why are you suffering so much in your mind? Why don't you open your eyes and see? Your son is standing in front of you. Dear wife, do not make this house artificially empty." O king of the Yadu dynasty, this is, someone talks to Krishna, "In this way your father Nanda reveals his grief to your mother." You know, in the separation he sees. Krishna, O lotus-eyed one, seeing your stick, which was the ornament of your lotus hand while you were in Gokula, your mother has today become like a stick with all senses stopped. And then she said, Yashoda said, "O selfish Lord," with tears in her eyes and grass in her teeth, Yashoda prays to you, "Give up hatred for me and bring within my vision just once for a short time today, my son. Oh, selfish Lord, you keep him with you, but I want to also see him." You know, when Yashoda saw the stick, do you know how the stick of Lord Krishna looked? It was red. It had a little round thing at the top, and then a gold spiral all to the down, a golden line. Maybe we should have, we have such a stick, I think, for Radha Madan Mohan, isn't it? But he, a big stick he has up till here. Sorry? It's still, it is also red and golden. Yeah. So we should have a little smaller, and then we can make for the other eyes who do not see through this verse. We can make it red and golden. That would be nice, isn't it? Krishna's stick for herding the cows.
I'm thinking about different sticks also. Could make
something. Yeah. What will a cowherd boy do without stick? So Krishna is noticing all this, of course, these feelings of the devotees in separation. And how can he not return to Vrindavan? It's not possible. He must return. How can he not be moved? He's not. Already his skin is so soft. How soft his heart is, we cannot imagine. There are many more pages. But I thought, because this is Govinda Kund, there the Lord is in his... We should read this to Radha Kanaya Lal and to the assembled Govinda Kund Vasis. Hare Krishna. By the way, this book is not my own property. I was borrowing it from a devotee. I think you wanted to get this. It's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It comes in two volumes. I have to return it this night. But I couldn't wait. Yeah. So I had to find it somewhere. And good. This is all. I'm sorry, I can't talk long because I'm it's calling me. Don't talk. Chant. You always talk so much. Such inundan. You talk too much. This is how the Vibhis say, don't talk now. I wanted to just thank all of the three. Of course, Gaurahari, he goes without mentioning. He's like my hand, and I never thank my hand. I always chastise my hand. So, but the three of you, you were very kind to me to give me this shelter. It's an extraordinary nice place. I mean, I know that sometimes when we are at such a place, we either become restless or also dull. Dull means we don't appreciate it so much. But it's in Braj, I must tell you, this is a very, very rare situation where you are protected from outside disturbances, where the people love you, that they want you to be there, where they even cook lovingly for you. It's a very rare situation, and I think only because you're very serious in Krishna consciousness, Krishna has given you the shelter, especially for Mataji's. Ooh, it's so rare. I think Srimati must have visited you because I got a very nice present from her, and I think she must have also told you that you must be very fortunate to be here. It's really ideal, and there's Madhavendra Puri's I can well imagine he sat under the tree, or the usually we you never know. This may be the son of the tree, you know, the original tree, because I think this cannot be 500 years old. Or maybe, I do not, maybe yes. It's really wonderful. I can't imagine this, and I'm very happy to. I mean, I really would like to do more bhajan here in the future.